What, if anything, does anyone remember from yesterday's class? I'll give you a hint. It was from the Bhagavatam. So fixed. Consider what it would be like to be fixed in Krishna's service in that way. That is transcendental. Fixed internally, regardless of what is going on externally. But also old men, not only just women. But old men need a lot of protection.
If you consider his wife as half of his body.
Okay, there's so many. We have to let others have a chance too. Oh yes, go ahead, one more. He would be equal in that as well. He would not take that and retaliate in any way. Incredible personality. And he had all the potency of the demigods at his disposal. Actually, because he was an incarnation of the Lord. Well, Vena claimed that he, as the king, embodied all the power of the demigods. But Prithu Maharaj actually had this potency. And amazingly enough, the first thing, practically speaking, that was said about him was that he was humble. Gentle and humble. I've read this also, that one of the main characteristics that distinguishes a big scientist, an actual extremely powerful scientist from a mediocre one, is that the powerful scientist is very humble, because he has actually glimpsed at how little he actually knows. He understands so much, and he puts that in perspective of reality. And he becomes very humble, where the mediocre scientist is very proud. So Prithu Maharaj, he's carrying the power of Krishna for ruling. And in this chapter, the chapter we shall begin today, entitled Prithu Maharaj Becomes Angry at the Earth, we will glimpse his power, and we will get we'll get an understanding of what it means to be a king and what his responsibilities actually are. And the first responsibility is going to be demonstrated by Prithu Maharaj, and that is to make sure that the citizens are fed properly. Food. So, chapter 17 opens. The great sage Maitreya continued. In this way, who remembers the perspective or the frame of reference in which Maitreya is speaking to Vidura? Speaking about Prithu Maharaj, but what is the broader picture? The descendants of Dhruva Maharaj going to the Prachetas, because the question that Vidura asked was about the Prachetas and the words that Narada Muni used to glorify them, glorify Dhruva Maharaj and the assembly of the Prachetas. And then in the middle of describing the descendants of Dhruva Maharaj leading to the Prachetas, Vena was brought up, as he was one of the descendants of Dhruva, and he was killed by the curse of the Brahmins. And the sages were wondering what he had done that was so horrendous that caused the Brahmins, who were by nature equal, to kill him for this curse. So Maitreya Muni continues speaking. This is after the reciters have glorified Prithu Maharaj and predicted some of his activities. In this way, the reciters who were glorifying Preetu Maharaj readily, described his qualities and chivalrous activities. At the end, Maharaj Preetu offered them various presentations with all due respect and worshipped them adequately. King Preetu, thus satisfied and offer all respects to the leaders of the Brahmins and other castes, note that he was respectful to the members of the other castes, not only the Brahmins, who he was obliged to because they were basically guiding him, but the other caste as well. Just like one can't be respectful to the head and neglect the arms and legs and belly, one will only give oneself trouble if one acts in that way. Because the society or any community has to work cooperatively, like a body. Like Prabhupada said, the GBC body. It has to work as a body. Means that not only the individuals acting according to their natures and according to their capacity, but jointly and cooperatively for the good of all. So he satisfied everyone, to his servants, to his ministers, offered all respect to his servants, to his ministers, to the priests, to the citizens, general countrymen, people from other communities, admirers and others, and thus they all became happy. Now Vidura is going to ask some questions of the great sage Maitreya. My dear Brahmana, since Mother Earth can appear in different shapes, why did she take the shape of a cow? So these questions come from the 22nd, 24th, and 25th texts of the previous chapter, wherein Maharaj Preetu explained about the earth taking the shape of a cow, and then that Maharaj Preetu had flattened the surface of the earth with his bow, the point of his bow. So when King Preetu milked her, who became the calf? And what was the milking pot? The surface of the earth is by nature low in some places and high in others. How did King Preetu level the surface of the earth? And why did the king of heaven, Indra, steal the horse meant for the sacrifice? Preetu Maharaj successfully completed how many Aswamedha Yagyas?
99.
And in the 100th one, he was unable to complete it because Indra became very upset because he had been the only one who had performed successfully 100 horse sacrifices, and he wanted to maintain his reputation in that way. So Indra stole the horse. Oh, it's such an interesting chapter that comes up a bit later. So why did Indra, the king of heaven, steal the horse meant for the sacrifice? The great saintly king Maharaj Preetu received knowledge from Sanat Kumar, who was the greatest Vedic scholar. After receiving knowledge to be applied practically in his life, how did the saintly king attain his desired destination? Because without knowledge, how will we know what the proper destination is? It requires knowledge. To know, you have to know what the proper destination is. Know means knowledge. So what exactly is the proper destination of life? This knowledge is lacking in the world. And therefore Prabhupada stressed book distribution. Why? Because it is distribution of knowledge. What should be done, what shouldn't be done. Knowledge is a function of the intelligence. But this knowledge can't be derived simply from the intelligence. Because through intelligence, one can only understand something about reality. But reality is so vast, unfathomably vast. And indeed, only Krishna understands all of reality. We just get a little portion allotted to us for our understanding. And if one accepts his portion, which is only part of reality, as reality, that is illusion. So the great realized saintly devotee, Sanat Kumar, he gave transcendental knowledge to Preeti Maharaj, and therefore the question is, what was the application of that to attain his desired destination? Everyone should give that concept some time. Where do I actually desire to end this life? In the sense of where do we desire to go at the end of this life when we are forced out of our body? And indeed, being forced out of our body is something that is common to each and every one of us. It's going to happen to all of us. Where do we wish to go? What do we wish to cultivate? This is knowledge. What do we actually want through this life? Text 6 and 7. Preeti Maharaj was a powerful incarnation of Lord Krishna's potencies. Consequently, any narration concerning his activities is surely very pleasing to hear, and it produces all good fortune. As far as I am concerned, I am always your devotee as well as a devotee of the Lord, who is known as Adhokshaja. Please therefore narrate all the stories of King Preetu, who in the form of the son of King Vena, milked the cow-shaped earth. So he was an incarnation, an avatar of Krishna. Prabhupada explains, in the last paragraph of his purport to 7, in this verse, the word Adhokshaja, meaning beyond the perception of the material senses, is very significant. No one can perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead by mental speculation. Mental speculation means the power of one's own intelligence, which includes the ability to put together different facts and come to conclusions that are beyond those individual facts. The quality or the ability of inference, or anuman, this is also a function of the intelligence. But with intelligence, how will we be able to understand Preeti Maharaj just by intelligence alone? By intelligence alone, we won't be able to understand Preeti Maharaj, what to speak of Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan, where he's a cowherd boy and wandering around the hill known as Govardhan, herding the cows, performing loving pastimes with countless devotees, playing his flute and what?
Dancing.
And dancing. I was thinking of also playing a buffalo horn, but he was dancing too. Natavara. With Balaram, with the cowherd girl. How is it possible? How is it possible through one's intelligence to reach these conclusions about the all-pervading, all-powerful, all-knowing absolute truth? Vedanti tat tatva vidas tatvamya jnanam adayam. That absolute truth is realized in three features, but this feature as Bhagavan is very hard, very impossible to understand by one's own power. Therefore, Prabhupada points out in the purport of 5 the importance of sampradaya, the cyclic succession, and that Preetam Raj was ultimately in the sampradaya of Sanat Kumar, having taken shelter of him, gaining his knowledge from him. And also here he's explaining the meaning of the word at Hokchaja, that one by mental speculation cannot perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This he is perceived rather by descending knowledge. It is a different process. Therefore, Prabhupada says, a person with a poor fund of knowledge cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Interesting. A person with a poor fund of knowledge. Poor fund of knowledge. That means he doesn't have a great accumulation of knowledge. No matter how intelligent he is, his fund of knowledge makes him poor, poverty-stricken, and because he won't be able to understand Krishna. Krishna is so difficult to understand. So difficult to understand. Unless one hears properly from a proper source and one is a qualified hearer. Since one can only form an impersonal idea on the strength of one's material senses and intelligence, the Lord is known as Adhokshaja. Suta Goswami continued, when Vidura became inspired to hear of the activities of Lord Krishna in his various incarnations, Maitreya, also being inspired and very pleased with Vidura, began to praise him. Thus Maitreya spoke as follows. How did Maitreya become a devotee? Where?
In
Prabhakshetra. So Uddhava had just asked Krishna, who was about to leave this world, to explain that same knowledge that he had heard from, that he had spoken to Brahma. Krishna at that time was in a forearm form, leaning against an old aswata tree. But not, it was a small one, relatively speaking, because this, and it represented the universe. Raise your hand if you've ever seen that tree that is still existing. I've also seen it. Huh? I'm not going to tell it. It's all secret. It's in Prabhas. Balkitirta, I think it is called. Very incredible atmosphere there, yes? Very deep. It's the only pastime place that's, it's almost like a church. You know, it's very, very grave. That was how I perceive it. It's very, very grave and somber. Usually, the Gaudiya Vaishnava temples and everything, they're full of such joy. But this place is very, very somber. And very, very deep, powerful. Very heart-melting. Balki Tirtha. No photograph, Lord. So, at that place, just as Krishna was beginning to speak, Maitreya Muni came. This is described in the 3rd canto of the Bhagavatam, and also in the 11th canto. And Maitreya Muni came just by chance, which means by the arrangement of the Lord. And when he heard, he was an impersonalist previously, but when he heard that Vaikuntha was the ultimate goal, that one keeps one's personal relationship with Krishna. When he heard that from Krishna himself, his heart shifted and he became a devotee. So, listen to this short purport of Prabhupada's, because Maitreya, hearing the questions of Vidura, became very alive, enlivened. And here's what Prabhupada says. Talk of Krishna Katha, or topics about Lord Krishna or his incarnations, is spiritually so inspiring that the reciter and hearer are never exhausted. Now everyone yawn. You're not allowed to be exhausted. That is the nature of spiritual talks. This is if persons are qualified. We have actually seen, Prabhupada says, we have actually seen that one can never become satiated. What does satiated mean? Full, like I've had enough. Rather, the opposite occurs. I want more. One can never become satiated by hearing the conversations between Vidura and Maitreya. Where has Prabhupada seen this? I know where we saw it in him, but I don't know where he saw it except thinking about himself, how by speaking about Krishna hour after hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, he gained new energy. Continuously. We have actually seen that one can never become satiated by hearing the conversations between Vidura and Maitreya. Both of them are devotees, and the more Vidura inquires, the more Maitreya is encouraged to speak. A symptom of spiritual talks is that no one feels tired. Do we all have that experience? Yes, very good. Because you're all devotees. You can ask him. Thus, upon hearing the questions of Vidura, the great sage Maitreya did not feel disgusted, which is also a synonym of satiated. That's like if you eat so much food and then someone gives you some more and you feel disgusted to take more. So Maitreya did not feel disgusted but rather felt encouraged to speak at greater length. Wonderful. The great sage Maitreya continued. So he's beginning now the pastime to answer the question of why did Bhumi, the earth, assumed the form of a cow, and ultimately what was the pot and who was the calf. My dear Vidura, Maitreya said, at the time King Prita was enthroned by the great sages and brahmanas and declared to be the protector of the citizens. Just see the position of the king, the protector of the people, the citizens, the praja. That was his role, not to exploit, not to lord it over. He had so much facility, but that facility was for the purpose of protecting the citizens, protecting them materially, protecting them spiritually. Oh, how the world needs Maharaj Prithu. So he was the coronation meant that he was declared to be the protector of the citizens. And there was a scarcity of food grains. The citizens were hungry. They didn't have enough to eat. The citizens actually became skinny due to starvation. Therefore, they came before the king and informed him of their real situation. Just, we'll read some of that, most of that purport in a moment. Dear king, just as this is what they said. Dear king, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow of a trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of the surrendered souls, and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but the incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings, Naradeva Dev. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O king of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food. So Prabhupada points out that these people were not lazy. They were ready to work. They just didn't want handouts of food grains. They wanted to be engaged in some employment, some occupational duty. But yet, despite their willingness to work, there was no food for them. We'll read from some of Prabhupada's purport to 9, about a third of the way down. In this narration, it is clearly indicated that the brahmanas used to control the royal power. When an evil king like Vena ruled, the brahmanas would kill him through their brahminical powers and would select a proper ruler by testing his qualifications. In other words, the brahmanas, the intelligent men or great sages, would control the monarchical powers, And here we have an indication of how the brahmanas elected King Prithu to the throne as the protector of the citizens. So here again is Prithumraj's first responsibility. Make sure that the citizens have enough food. The citizens, being skinny due to hunger, approached the king and informed him that that necessary action should be taken. The structure of the Vanashrama Dharma was so nice that the brahmanas would guide the head of state. What's in there? Flowers? What will you do with those flowers? What will you do with the garlands? You'll give them to Krishna Balaram or to Radhishyama Sundar Gonatai. The head of state would then give protection. The Brahmins would guide the head of state. The head of state would then give protection to the citizens. The Kshatriyas would take charge of protecting the people in general. And under the protection of the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas would protect the cows, produce food grains, and distribute them. Sudras, the working class, would help the higher three classes by manual labor. This is the perfect social system. 12. Prithumraj then thought about the problem that was confronting his state. And what was that problem? The citizens were starving. They were skinny due to lack of food. And having arrived at a conclusion, the king, so he decided what the problem was. And the king took up his bow and arrow and aimed them at the earth, exactly like Lord Shiva, who destroys the whole world out of anger. So here the king, his strength is being shown. He decided that the problem was that the earth was not releasing the food grains. And what was he going to do? He was going to kill the earth. And he did this. He began to threaten the earth by pointing his bow and arrow at the earth. Extreme. He was going to kill the earth for not doing her duty of supplying the food for the people who are ready to work. The earth was holding back. He was not a pacifist. He was ready to do what was ever required to perform his duty of making sure that everyone else was doing their duties. So he became angry. Without anger, he could not fight. He was angry. Why was he angry? There was suffering. And there was a cause of the suffering. The earth. And his anger was directed towards the earth and he was going to do something about it. Prabhupada's purport. King Prithu found out the cause of the scarcity of food grains. He could understand that it was not the people's fault, for they were not lazy in executing their duties. Rather, the earth was not producing sufficient food grains. This indicates that the earth can produce sufficiently if everything is properly arranged. But sometimes the earth can refuse to produce food grains for various reasons. The theory there is a scarcity of food grains due to an increase of population is not a very sound theory. Why? How do you know that? That is just your religious fanaticism. Excuse me. Yes? What's the real typical reason? Were you going to? True. What is the greatest reason? That's the greatest theoretical reason. Not theoretical. But he also said a lot of that land was in Australia and there's plenty of land but no water. Yes, this is the simple reason that if you grow grains and feed an animal, the amount of people, and then you take that animal and cut them up into small pieces and then feed people, it's the most inefficient way to provide food for people. There is already enough food on this earth for 10 times the population. If people would manage it properly and stop killing the animals and stop growing all these sugarcane and tobacco. Sugarcane for what? Liquor. Not just for sugar. Liquor, alcohol, tobacco for smoking, which causes every conceivable bad disease. And many inconceivable bad diseases as well. And this is what so much of the land is being taken up to do. Economics, sinful economics. And the result is that people are unhappy and that food can be in scarcity. Sometimes the earth can refuse to produce food grains for various reasons. The theory that there is a scarcity of food grains due to an increase of population is not very sound theory. There are other causes that enable the earth to produce profusely or stop producing. King Prithu found out the proper causes and took the necessary steps immediately. When the earth saw that King Prithu was taking his bow and arrow to kill her, she became very much afraid and began to tremble. She then began to flee exactly like a deer which runs very swiftly when followed by a hunter. Being afraid of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow and began to run. So why? That's the answer to the question of why she took the shape of a cow, the earth took the shape, and what's the answer? Yes, so if I take this form, he won't kill me, even though he's standing there like death personified with bow and arrow in hand. Prabhupada explains in his purport about halfway. In order to avoid the wrath of King Prithu, what does wrath mean? Anger. She took the shape of a cow. Since a cow is never to be killed, Mother Earth thought it wise to take the shape of a cow in order to avoid King Prithu's arrows. King Prithu, however, could understand this fact, and therefore he did not stop chasing the cow-shaped earth. He was refusing to be sentimental about the situation. He wanted the earth to feed the citizens. No matter what form she was going to take, she had to do this, and he was going to push this point. Seeing this, Maharaj Prithu became very angry because she was trying to avoid the issue. He wants her to produce food grains to feed the starving citizens. And she's trying to get his sympathy by turning into with the form of a cow. No sentiment. He became angry. Or, yes, sentiment, but no sentimentality. The difference between sentiment and sentimentality is sentimentality is undue sentiment. Too much sentiment considering the circumstances. That is what sentimentality is defined as. So he had a sentiment towards the cow, he had a sentiment to the earth, but he was not going to be sentimental. He became very angry, and his eyes became as red as the early morning sun. What is that redness called in Sanskrit? Yes, Aruna. Udela Aruna Poravabhagi. The redness when the sun turns that reddish color prior to the sun, or just as the sun is rising. Aruna. And placing an arrow on his bow, his eyes became that color. Placing an arrow on his bow, he chased the cow-shaped earth wherever she would run. The cow-shaped earth ran here and there in outer space between the heavenly planets and the earth, and wherever she ran, the king chased her with his bow and arrows. Just as a man cannot escape the cruel hands of death. Such a heavy point. Man cannot escape the cruel hands of death. Similarly, the cow-shaped earth could not escape the hands of the son of Vena. At length, the earth, fearful, her heart aggrieved, turned back in helplessness, addressing the great opulent King Prithu as the knower of religious principles and the shelter of the surrendered. She said, "Please save me. You are the protector of all living entities." This is the nature of a Kshatriya. He will fight and fight and kill, but as soon as anyone, even an enemy, takes shelter of him, what to speak of a woman? What to speak of a woman who's in the form of the earth? So she was appealing to him in every way possible. After trying to escape by her own power, she ultimately simply tried to surrender. Now you are situated as the king of this planet. You are the protector of all the living entities, and I am one of those living entities. Please protect me. Prabhupada's purport. The cow-shaped earth addressed King Prithu as Dharma Gya, which refers to one who knows the principles of religion. The principles of religion dictate that a woman, a cow, a child, a brahmana, and an old man must be given all protection by the king or anyone else. Consequently, Mother Earth took the shape of a cow. She was also a woman. Thus she appealed to the king as one who knows the principles of religion. She was trying to exact that sentiment again, sentimentality. Religious principles also dictate that one is not to be killed if he surrenders. She reminded King Prithu that not only was he an incarnation of God, but he was situated as king of the earth as well. Therefore, his duty was to excuse her. The cow-shaped earth continued to appeal to the king. "I am very poor, and I have not committed any sinful activities. I do not know why you want to kill me. Since you're supposed to be the knower of all religious principles, why are you so envious of me? You cannot tolerate my existence. You're jealous of the fact that I'm alive. And why are you so anxious to kill a woman? The earth appealed to the king in two ways. A king who knows religious principles cannot kill anyone who has not committed sinful activities. Apart from this, a woman is not to be killed even if she does commit some sinful activities. Since the earth was innocent and was also a woman, the king should not kill her. That was her reasoning. Two more verses where she appeals. Even if a woman does commit some sinful activity, no one should place his hand upon her. And what to speak of you, dear king, who are so merciful? You are a protector and you are affectionate to the poor. The cow-shaped earth continued, "My dear king, I am just like a strong boat." Now her argument here is very interesting. This is more a threat than an appeal for mercy. "I am just like a strong boat." She's speaking now neither as a cow nor as a woman, but as the earth. "And all the paraphernalia of the world is standing upon me. Because everything is on the earth. If you break me to pieces with your bow and arrows, how can you protect yourself and your subjects from drowning? If the boat is broken apart, then everything on the boat is going to end up in the water. If you shoot the earth and break it to pieces with your bow and arrow, where will your shelter be? Where will, you're trying to protect the citizens, where will their shelter be? Prabhupada's purport, we'll read about it a third of the way down. The earth therefore warned King Prithu that he could gain nothing by destroying her. Indeed, how would he protect himself and his citizens from drowning in the garbha water? In other words, outer space may be compared to an ocean of air, and each and every planet is floating on it as a boat or island floats on the ocean. Sometimes planets are called dvipa or islands, and sometimes they are called boats. Thus the cosmic manifestation is partially explained in this reference by the cow-shaped earth. Now, in the next text, 22 through 27, how many is that? Six. Prithu Maharaj is going to reply. My dear earth, you have disobeyed my orders and rulings. In the form of a demigod, you accepted your share of the yajnas we perform, but in return you have not produced sufficient food grains. For this reason, I must kill you. In agriculture, at least in the United States, if a cow eats grass and gives milk, that cow is called an honest cow. So she is being accused of being dishonest, taking sacrifice, and yet not giving anything in return. What is that called if someone takes but does not give in return? Ungrateful, selfish,
parasite.
Yeah. What else? Anything else? You've done pretty well, though. Low class. Sycophant also, yes. Kripana, miserly, just taking. We all should make sure we cannot be accused by Prabhupada of these things. For this reason, he says, I must kill you. Although you are eating green grass every day, you are not filling your milk bag so we can utilize your milk, because the cow has the ability to drop the milk into the milk bag. Since you are willfully committing offenses, it cannot be said that you are not punishable due to your assuming the form of a cow. You are not providing sufficient nourishment, food, or in the form of a cow, milk. Therefore, you cannot say that you have not done anything wrong. Purport by Prabhupada 23. A cow eats green grasses in the pasture and fills her milk bag with sufficient milk so that the cow herdsman can milk her. Yajnas, sacrifices, are performed to produce sufficient clouds that will pour water over the earth. The word paya can refer both to milk and to water. As one of the demigods, the earthly planet was taking her share in the yajnas, that is, she was eating green grass, but in return she was not producing sufficient food grains, that is, she was not filling her milk bag. Prithu Maharaj was therefore justified in threatening to punish her for her offense. You have so lost your intelligence that despite my orders, you do not deliver the seeds of herbs and grains formerly created by Brahma and now hidden within yourself. You are not producing. You are holding back. Your duty is to produce. The citizens are starving. And my duty is to inspire you to give food grains, or I will kill you. Purport. while creating all the planets in the universe. He was very serious about this. While creating all the planets in the universe, Lord Brahma also created the seeds of various grains, herbs, plants, and trees. When sufficient water falls from the clouds, the seeds fructify and produce grains, fruits, vegetables, etc. By this example, Pitu Maharaj indicates that whenever there is a scarcity in food production, the head of the government should take steps to see why production is being held up and what should be done to rectify the situation. Now, Pitu Maharaj says, with the help of my arrows, I shall cut you to pieces and with your flesh satisfy the hunger-stricken citizens who are now crying for want of grains. Thus I shall satisfy the crying citizens of my kingdom. Any cruel person, be he a man, woman, or impotent eunuch, who is only interested in his personal maintenance and who has no compassion for other living entities, may be killed by the king. Such killing can never be considered actual killing. You are very much puffed up with pride and have become almost insane. Presently, you have assumed the form of a cow by your mystic powers. Nonetheless, I shall cut you into small pieces like grain, and I will uphold the entire population by my personal mystic power. So he's very, very strong in his dealing with the earth, regardless of the sentiments within him she is trying to evoke by taking on the form of a cow. Prabhupada speaks in text 25 in his purport about meat eating. A little bit about meat eating. Here we find some indications of how the government can arrange for the eating of cow flesh. It is here indicated that in rare circumstances when there is no supply of grains, the government may sanction the eating of meat. However, when there is sufficient food, the government should not allow the eating of cow's flesh just to satisfy the fastidious tongue. What does fastidious mean? Hard to satisfy. Greedy. Very hard to satisfy the greedy tongue. So just because some people like the taste of meat on their greedy, fastidious tongues, they cause these animals so much suffering and grief. Just because someone likes the taste, they cause so much suffering to another. In other words, in rare circumstances when people are suffering for want of grains, meat eating or flesh eating can be allowed, but not otherwise. The maintaining of slaughterhouses for the satisfaction of the tongue and the killing of animals unnecessarily should never be sanctioned by a government. As described in a previous verse, cows and other animals should be given sufficient grass to eat. If despite a sufficient supply of grass, a cow does not supply milk, and there is an acute shortage of food, the dried up cow may be utilized to feed the hungry masses of people. According to the law of necessity, first of all, human society must try to produce food grains and vegetables. But if they fail in this, they can indulge in flesh eating. Otherwise, not. As human society is presently structured, there is sufficient production of grains all over the world. Therefore, the opening of slaughterhouses cannot be supported. In some nations, there is so much surplus grain that sometimes extra grain is thrown into the sea. And sometimes the government forbids further production of grain so that to keep the prices up. The conclusion is that the earth produces sufficient grain to feed the entire population, but the distribution of this grain is restricted due to trade regulations and desire for profit. Consequently, in some places there is a scarcity of grain and in others profuse production. If there were one government on the surface of the earth to handle the distribution of grain, there would be no question of scarcity, no necessity to open slaughterhouses, and no need to present false theories about overpopulation. Prabhupada's purport to 26. The planet Earth is actually a woman in her constitutional form. And as such, she needs to be protected by the king. Preetam Raj argues, however, that if a citizen within the state, be he man, woman, or eunuch, is not compassionate upon his fellow men, he or she may be killed by the king. And such killing is never to be considered actual killing. As far as the field of spiritual activities is concerned, when a devotee is self-satisfied and does not preach the glories of Krishna, he is not considered a first-class devotee. A devotee who tries to preach, who has compassion upon innocent persons, who have no knowledge of Krishna, is a superior devotee. In his prayer to the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj said that he was not personally interested in liberation from this material world. Rather, he did not wish to be liberated from this material condition until all fallen souls were delivered. So we read those very wonderful texts from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. Even in the material field, if a person is not interested in others' welfare, he should be considered to be condemned by the personality of Godhead or his incarnation, like Preetam Raj. In other words, one should not be selfish, either materially or spiritually. And the final purport that we'll read, text 27. The earth informed King Preetu that if he destroyed her, he and his subjects would fall down into the waters of the Garba ocean. And King Preetu now replies to that point. Although the earth assumed the shape of a cow by her mystic powers in order to be saved from being killed by the king was aware of this fact and would not hesitate to cut her to pieces just like small bits of grain. And that is very small pieces. As far as the destruction of the citizens is concerned, Maharaj Preetu maintained that he could uphold everyone by his own mystic power. He did not need the help of the earthly planet. Being the incarnation of Lord Vishnu, Preetu Maharaj possessed the power of Shankarshan, which is explained by the scientists as the power of gravitation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is holding millions of planets in space without any support. Similarly, Preetu Maharaj would not have had any difficulty supporting all his citizens and himself in space without any support, without the help of the planet Earth. The Lord is known as Yogeshwar, master of all mystic powers. Consequently, the planet Earth was informed by the king that she need not worry about his standing without her help. Preetam Raj ki jai. Very strong. Now the Earth is going to start giving her arguments. And Preetam Raj isn't going to accept her arguments. He doesn't want something on the verbal platform. He wants her to produce grains, and nothing else will satisfy him. Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments? That comes up not in tomorrow's class. But she explains the next reasons, the actual reasons, in the day after tomorrow. And it's basically that the people were not pious. She was withholding it. Grains are meant for sacrifice. But there's no sacrifice. As opposed to a poor fund of knowledge, is knowledge of God, knowledge of Krishna.
But that's what. The poor fund is maybe something like a small amount. I think of it as volume.
It depends what you want to purchase. If you want to purchase the lotus feet of C.C. Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, then you'll need even more than knowledge. You'll need what? which is the highest knowledge, because knowledge follows bhakti. But Prabhupada, in those texts, is criticizing those people who think they're very intelligent, but actually the amount of knowledge that they have is limited to the material sphere. So it's a criticism of those who are mayaya aprita gyan, whose knowledge is limited to the material sphere and limited to the realm of maya, and yet proud of it. You'd really have to think, how would you preach in the Arctic and these deserts? You'd really have to be expert to know how to preach in these places. But usually the people are not of the nature who tend towards Krishna consciousness. Because of being sinful, they take their birth in those places where there's no opportunity. But if someone, or hundreds of people, or thousands of people, sincerely wanted to give these things up, but they said, what can we do in these circumstances? Then, by Krishna's arrangement, you'd have to make, if that's where you were preaching, you'd have to make some arrangements to help them in a practical way. Because ultimately, Krishna consciousness has to be practical. They could all go to Brazil. They could all go to Brazil and stay on the farm of Purushottaya Maharaj and solve that problem. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.